Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening from the scripture part that we have been reading from Matthew 5, and I read one verse especially as a text verse for the sermon, Matthew 5, verse 16, where we read the holy infallible word of the Lord as follows, Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So the theme in this service of reflection on the Lord's Supper and this night, the theme is "Let your light shine." 3 points of attention. The first, to live for God. The second, to live for your neighbor. And the third, to live with Christ. So the theme is "Let your light shine." 3 points: to live for God, to live for your neighbor, and to live with Christ. Beloved congregation, it happened that there was a man who wanted to sell his house. So he planned to make it look nice by painting and cleaning it, painting at the outside, the inside, cleaning it up so that it would look really nice, and we can understand that, so that there would be someone interested to buy the house. But before he could do that, while he started and was busy to do that, before he could finish it, there came someone who was interested to buy the house. So he was glad about that, and he talked to that person about the house, and the person looked in the house outside and did some investigation about the house, looked thoroughly, and then he said, "Well, I want to buy the house, but you know, I'm gonna tear it down totally." "What? You're gonna tear down this house? You? Why would you do that?" "Well, I'm going to build a new house here on this spot." "But why would you tear down this whole house?" "Well," he said, I've seen the house. It does look pretty nice at the outside, especially when you've painted it. But you see, this house is so bad. The construction of the house inside is so terrible. It would be useless to try to make it nice, because the construction is too weak. It's too bad. So I'm going to build a new one. That's the only way to have a good house here." And the owner was really shocked about that. It was hard to him to admit that it was so bad, but it was true. It was the right decision. Would be a loss of money to make the house look better and better and better, because it could not last. It would fall apart one day. Now that can happen. And that's an illustration about what a situation is of man. And the Lord Jesus is making that clear. You could say the key of this Sermon on the Mount, that's how we call this sermon of the Lord Jesus that Matthew is describing in those chapters until the end of chapter 7. So a Sermon on the Mount where the disciples are coming here, sitting near to the Lord Jesus, and also he's speaking to them, but also the multitude listening. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So there he is sitting on the mountain, disciples there before him, and then the multitude could hear him. And they say, when you sit in such a position, you can talk to a great multitude. And the Lord Jesus speaking in this Sermon on the Mount, and the key to understand his message, you could say, is to be found in verse 20. But the Lord Jesus says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's shocking. Your righteousness has to exceed, so be more than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Otherwise, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, then it sounds impossible. If you would know that the Pharisees and the scribes, they were so, could say, so religious, and they had even more rules than the rules of the law of the Lord. What they did was making kind of a fence around the law of the Lord. So if you have the law of the Lord, then they say, well, yeah, we have to keep the law, but to make it, you know, to protect us against trespassing the law, we put a fence around it in a certain way by making 613 extra rules about keeping the Sabbath day and all these things. They, yeah, would like maybe like making a fence around the law to, so that they would make sure that you would not trespass the law of God. And now the Lord Jesus is saying, well, your righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Or you could say, to live for God. What does it mean to enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, our first thought might be to enter heaven. And that is part of it. But to enter the kingdom of heaven, you could say, that's something that happens in that moment that we are born again, or in a real faith rest in Christ, which is, yeah, the first act of faith, you could say, that is that moment of regeneration. So, yeah, you could say that is to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven, it means the ruling, the reign of heaven, being ruled by heaven. And that's not the case by nature. We rule our own lives. I can do my own thing. I want to be my own king. And that has to change, so I have to leave the throne in my heart, and Christ has to be king. And yeah, to have such a situation, so that is what happens to men and women, to boys and girls, by the power of the Word and Spirit, that change. But the Lord says, well, for that change you need a righteousness that is exceeding the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Oh, that's shocking. Then it's, how could I ever be more righteous than those scribes and Pharisees? If they are so careful about keeping the law, that they even made more than 600 extra rules? And now I need a righteousness that is exceeding that? Yeah. Yeah, why? Because God is holy. God is perfect. And He created us perfect. So, that's what He's demanding. He's demanding, and He has the right to do that. He's demanding perfect obedience with nothing lacking. So think about the Ten Commandments. But also what the Lord Jesus is making clear here, think about the summary, you could say, the Ten Commandments, to love God above all, and your neighbor as yourself, like yourself. But also what the Lord Jesus is teaching in this very Sermon on the Mount, that it's not only about what you do, not only your acts, your deeds, but that it's also about your heart, your intention. So if you are angry with a person without a reason, then you have sinned against the sixth commandment. There is that root of killing in your heart. And the Lord is looking into our hearts, seeing everything, our most deep desires and emotions. So we need a righteousness that is exceeding the righteousness of the Pharisees. Otherwise we cannot be saved. That's an honest teaching of the Lord Jesus. So how can that be? Well, two things we have to see. And the first is that the righteousness of the Pharisees was an outward righteousness. The Lord Jesus says, you are like sepulchers. You know, wide at the outside and inside death. It smells. So it was at the outside. They would pay tithes for the vegetables in the garden, you could say. At the same time, in a hidden way, they would eat the houses of the women. So they were not. But they were not really righteous, but they made that image, that outward appearance, as if they were. And the Lord is asking more. He wants a righteousness that is exceeding that outward impression and that outward behavior of the Pharisees. He's looking for your heart. He's saying in the word, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. As depraved and sinful as it is, he is changing hearts. What we cannot do, he is doing. And that's never hopeless for the Lord. He was saving Saul, the chief of sinners, so he can save you. And the other thing is that we have to see we needed righteousness, and that is only to be found in Christ. He has that righteousness that we need, that is much more than an outward behavior or appearance. He served God with his whole heart, emotion and mind and all his strength. He sacrificed himself to God and for his neighbors. Save sinners and enemies. He had a perfect obedience to God with his heart involved. From his heart, he never sinned. That's what we need to enter the kingdom of heaven. What a hopeful message. Because the righteousness that we need and never find in ourselves is available in Christ and in his work. Oh yeah, what a light is shining in this gospel for poor and needy sinners that discover their impossibility and that hear this message of a sufficient Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what the Lord Jesus is doing, he is preaching in a way to make clear that God is asking our heart, a service of the heart and of our whole being. That becomes very clear when you read how the Lord Jesus is describing, you could say, like drawing a picture of a child of God. Someone who received grace by the Lord. Some people said, well, those beatitudes here in this chapter, they are like the constitution of the kingdom of heaven, which is a nice way to say it. Or they give a clear drawing, explanation what it means to know grace and to know Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You immediately are aware that the service of the Lord is much more than an outward thing. It has to do with your spirit. And at the same time, it becomes so clear that it is a thing that the world will not understand. The natural man does not comprehend the things of the Spirit of God. Would you ever hear someone in the world say, blessed or happy are you if you are poor in spirit? Which means you could say if you don't know. If you really cannot make it on your own. If you do not have the knowledge, the wisdom, if you do not have the light that you need to make it. No, that's not what the world would say. You're blessed if you are successful. If you can do it on your own. If you do not need someone else. If you are rich and have everything in yourself so that you can do the things in life, in your own wisdom and insight, that's blessed, that's a happy thing. But no, that's not what Lord Jesus is saying. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You cannot understand that. That's strange. What do you mean? How can it be blessed if you are poor, if you lack in spirit what you need? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And there's room in their hearts and lives to be ruled by Christ. They cannot do it themselves. As long as you can do it yourself, you do not want Christ to be your king, is it? Isn't it? As long as a child is trying to do it him or herself, they will not allow the parents to help them. No, I can do it. I can do it. And then when they see they cannot, then there's room that they can be helped. So we do not cry out for the guidance and the light of the Holy Spirit till we see that we lack what we need in our own spirit. That's blessed, isn't it? So it's about a life for God, that we do not think that we are sufficient in ourselves, but that we need God. That's how we honor Him, that we acknowledge we need Him so much every day. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn. Again, something about how you are inside, to have sorrow is a, the first place you could say a thing of the heart. Blessed are they that mourn. Well, that's not a thing that you would hear in the world. You're blessed. It's good. It's a good thing if you are sad, sorrowful, mourn. That's strange. What do you mean? How can you say that? That's contradicting. For they shall be comforted. Yeah, child of God is mourning. Child of God cannot help himself. Will mourn about what he has done against God and how his heart is. Oh, we need a change to live for God. And that means that we see that we need him. That we see that we need what Christ said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. They will be comforted. There is such a rich comfort in Christ when we start to mourn about how we have sinned against God and how lost we are in ourselves. Oh, that comfort in the Word, that everything is there for those that are lost in themselves and see it and cry about it. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You could say, yeah. Now there is starting in the heart. And meekness has to do with your inside spirit, you could say. Your mind, your how you think, how you are, the inside. But It has also to do with your neighbor, which is a second point. To live for God means at the same time to live for your neighbor. It will be seen if you live a life with the Lord, for the Lord. If you know that light shining in your heart and life of the righteousness of Christ, which is enough. If you know the deep joy and peace in your heart that you do not have to add anything to what He has done, but that you have to rest in Him alone, to sink down on His sacrifice, to be satisfied with the Lamb of God. That's like a light shining in your heart. That's Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shining within. And then the darkness has to go. The darkness of unbelief and of being afraid deep inside, scared because of the judgment that will come. The darkness of doubting God and the darkness of serving yourself and sin, which is not making really happen, can give and will give some pleasure for a time, but will not enlighten and rejoice your heart. So a child of God is poor in spirit, is mourning about his situation, so that you will receive that comfort from the Lord, but also is meek. They shall inherit the earth. It will be seen, will it? Tomorrow, you attended the Lord's table. Will it be seen that Christ invited you and made you share in His body and His blood, so that you would have that assurance of being accepted by God and forgiven, remission of your sins? Will it be seen? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you are meek, your neighbor will be aware of that. You are not by nature. Because Christ says, learn from me that I am meek and lowly in mind. Yeah, that's not something that we have to be meek. What does it mean? Someone used the illustration of a horse. That you are teaching that horse to that you can ride it, or that it will draw something. That horse will resist. And yeah, that then you have to break the will of that horse so that it becomes willingly. The Lord did break your resistance so that He is going to use you, and that you will show that meekness of Christ in this world, which is rare, which is strange, because the world will say, well, you have to show that you are strong and that the people cannot play with you, and that you'll make them know it if they will do you wrong. You have to be strong in this world so that people will see that they cannot do anything with you. You have to be meek. That is strange. That's not from this society, this world. But what a testimony. It doesn't mean that we would not say what is wrong in this world. But it means that the wrong that is done to us is given in the hands of the Lord. Because we believe in God, in a righteous God, who in His wisdom will avenge on His time and in His way. And could it be by converting those that are resisting us? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They do not fight to be king in this world. To have everything in this world, like, by nature we like to do. to gather everything in as much as possible in this world, on this earth. Why would you do that? If you know Christ, if you know by faith that you will inherit, you will get it anyway. So that's a different way of life, which will be seen, and that is blessed. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness, they have a deep desire inside. Oh, to have that what the Lord deserves to receive, and what they do not have in themselves, and what they have to receive from Christ. His righteousness. Yeah, it's blessed if you are hungry. Children, if you are hungry, it's not hard for your parents to get you, finish your plate, is it? If you're hungry, it will be done soon. It's easy. You're hungry, so you eat. If you're not hungry, your parents could have a hard time. So if you are hungry for righteousness, oh, you will receive it. And Christ says, I'm the bread of life. You will find him. You will receive him and his righteousness in your heart and life, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Those that want to show mercy, like David did, we heard this morning. He didn't pay it back to the grandson of his enemy who wanted to kill him. But Mephibosheth received mercy for Jonathan's sake, for Christ's sake. And if you have received mercy, you want to be merciful. You want to show it to others. It will be seen, and you shall obtain mercy. The Lord will bless you in such a way of life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, sin, which is impurity, the impurity of this world, will separate us from God to see God. Oh, we need a pure life, a pure heart, and that means to be washed by Christ's blood, but also to be changed by his love and his spirit, so that we hate sin and impurity, and then to see God. To see God, that's a reward. Oh, that's much more than all the pleasure of sin, to see God. That glorious God who is light, who is the Almighty One. To see God, it's worth to live such a life. To see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. They make peace, used in the hand of the Lord, so that others will receive peace with God. And they will make peace to their neighbors. They don't want to fight them. They want to be kind to everybody as much as possible, although they will be hated. Isn't that strange? That's what the Lord Jesus says. Those peacemakers, those children of God, you can see God in their lives. You can see to whom they belong. They are children of God. They will be hated. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. How strange, those that make peace. The world is fighting against them. They hate it. Why? Because they are the light of the world. Their light is shining. This is a life with a righteousness that is exceeding the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. In the first place, because they are filled with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. But in the second place, because Christ is working in their lives and hearts, so that something of his image will be seen in them. I don't know what happened to that man. He was hard before I've known him. People were afraid of him. Something changed. He is softened. I don't understand it. But I would like to be like that man. That's how we should be, to make others jealous about that work of the Lord, that righteousness that the Lord is working in our lives, exceeding the righteousness of the Pharisees. It's, you can see it's real in the life of that woman. I don't know what the matter is with that girl. It seems she's not living for the things of this world. There's something more, there's something better. What happened to that boy? He's having so much difficulties in his life. There's a strength, a power that's not human, that's not normal. I would like to know what happened to him. I would like to be like him. Is that what the world would say when they see us tomorrow or every day? That righteousness of Christ reflected in our lives. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And we know that that light is not something, that the source of that light is not in ourselves. We are like reflecting, like a mirror, reflecting the light, like the moon reflecting the light of the sun. So, reflecting that light of Christ. So it's very clear that we cannot do it. As soon as the sun is not shining on the moon, there's no light to be seen from the moon. As soon as there's no light shining in that mirror, there will be no light coming from that mirror. And that's how it is with the child of God. We do not have light in ourselves. We are nothing separate from Christ. He is all. So that light about which the Lord Jesus is speaking here, and that's his own light. Through him, there's a psalm saying that. Through him, my light is shining. So that's not about me. But he is doing that. But still, it should be there. So it's so clear that we need a life near to him. And what else would you want? You know how sweet it is to experience communion with Christ, to live in his love. It makes you hate sin. And that light will be seen, that light of Christ. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That work that the Lord Jesus prepared, like the letter to the Ephesians said, that God prepared, and that God by Christ is working in you good works. And that's not a matter of a burden on your shoulder. Oh, I should do this. Oh yeah, I have to do that. Well, of course we have to remember ourselves, but at the same time is something that should be like natural, like it happened before I knew, like I couldn't do anything else because that love of Christ in my heart. And that's very clear when you see those people on the day of judgment, when the Lord Jesus is saying to them, come in, you beloved of the Father, and inherit the kingdom. Because I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. And I was naked, and you clothed me. and in prison and you visited me. Say, well, when did we do that? They forgot about it. They were not aware that they were doing it. They didn't write it down to send an invoice spoken with reverence. No. No, it's like a child helping his parents. Of course you're doing that because you love them. The commandments of the Lord are not a heavy burden. No, it's because of the love of the Lord that you do it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And why are you doing those things? Well, people will speak good of me. I like that. No, that's not what the Lord Jesus says. I will feel good about myself. I really like that. That gives me more energy to do it. Yeah, I know that. That's our sinful heart that wants to boast in ourselves and receive glory of man because of the things that the Lord has given to us, instead of that God would receive the glory. But the Lord Jesus says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven, so that it would be done in such a way that God will receive the glory. Yeah, people will see the difference if you look for your own glory, or if you have really desire that God will be lifted up, exalted, that Christ will be exalted and glorified. That's not about you. You do not want to receive the glory and steal it from the Lord. Oh, how much we have to search our hearts about that. So easily happens that we want glory for ourselves. We want people to talk about us, that we are a special man, special woman. We like to think that way about ourselves, that we do special things, that we are more than others. But that's against the word. It says, no, we have to esteem others more than ourselves. It's the other way around. We need to be changed every day so that Christ will be glorified. God will receive the glory, the honor and the praise in the lives of others when they see the work of the Lord in our lives like a shining light. And let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 233, stanza 1 till 4. 233, stanza 1. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. 233, stanza 1 till 4.
Thank you.
Congregation, so we understand that to be used by the Lord as a shining light in this world means to live a life with Christ. Because He is the light of the world. We have fallen in darkness. And by nature we love the darkness more than the light. To live a life with Christ means to live also a life of suffering. The Lord Jesus is making that clear. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. So that's happening to children of God. And that's suffering, that's painful. You cannot defend yourself. It's done behind your back. And so how could you defend yourself? And yeah, the Lord Jesus has experienced that in the most deep way. And we will experience it. Why? What's the reason? Well, it's very remarkable that the Lord Jesus says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. So let's think about that when we experience it. He doesn't say be glad, be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The life of the Lord, if the work of the Lord is true in your life, you will experience it. And this it's a sign. It is there because of the work of the Lord. So that is a reason to be glad. The Lord worked in my life in such a way, so powerfully, that the world is hating me. And hypocrites hate me. And they slander me. And they gossip about me. But how good it is to belong to Christ. And the apostles were glad that they were suffering for Christ, worthy, esteemed worthy to suffer for Christ. And if you in suffering think about Christ, you will at one side feel that for a human being it's hard, at the other side you will see how deep His love is, that He was willing to suffer for my salvation. And great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So it's showing that there's something of the Lord coming out of your life, something of His word, like it came from the prophets. That's a thing to be glad about, isn't it? But why? Why do they slander about those that fear the Lord, revile them? Persecute them. Well, the Lord Jesus is using two illustrations. He says, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Then we start to understand. Well, people make lights outside of their house, isn't it, children? Why are they doing that? And they will switch them on during the night sometimes. Or even make a sensor that it will switch on when someone is walking there. So if there would come a thief, then the light will be on or switch on. Oh, that's easy. That's helpful for the thief, isn't it? Because now he can see where he has to walk and find his way because there's light. So why are they doing that? No, it's not working that way. The thief will not be glad about that. Because the light is revealing what he's doing. And he hates the light. He wants to go and to do his things in the darkness. So that is how we are by nature. And that's how the world is. It loves the darkness because it doesn't want to be revealed. And it doesn't want that their works will be revealed and will be seen. They doesn't want to see themselves. They want to have a good feeling about themselves and they do not want to see their sins and their corruption and depravity. But those children of God, they make it clear what's wrong in their lives. They will feel and they will see, I should be like that man. I should live such a life. And they will hate the children of God. They are like shining lights And they love the darkness, so they hate them. They hated Christ so much that they killed him. It were my sins that nailed him to the cross. It was because of that he was a shining light among the people that they rejected him. You understand it. If you are a light in this world, you will be hated. They will gossip about you. They will mock you, despise you, try to talk you down. Because they know and feel inside that you are the way they should be. They will push a knife in your back, and someone says that's showing that you are in front of them. They will try to talk you down because they feel you live at that level where they should live, so near to God. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. It will be seen. You are the salt of the earth. So like salt. That's the other illustration. And salt is used to keep the decay away, used in food and to give taste to the food. So that should be the way Christians should be in this world. To fight against the decay in this world. But like salt. So the first thing is that we shouldn't be like in a bag altogether. But that we should come in contact with this world, not to be like the world, but to give a testimony in this world. So the salt has to be spread on the food so that it will work. And how does it work? In a very silent way. You cannot even almost see it. But it works. It really works. And yeah, you could say, those that live in sin, they live a life that is like an open wound. They are wounding themselves, piercing themselves with their sins, and now that salt is coming there. Now they don't like that. It will hurt. And they do not see how much they need it. If the Lord is not opening their eyes, they will hate the children of God. You will not join them anymore that serve sin, boys and girls. I don't know what you do in daily life, but if you have friends that like to do the sinful things and the Lord is working in your heart, you would say, no, I cannot do that anymore. That boy that I talked about this morning, that heard that song about that he was about man being a sinner and nothing more at all, Christ being all for that person, well, that boy stopped to join those friends that made him drink alcohol and be drunk. He couldn't do it anymore. You want to be different. You want to live according to the will of God. And then they didn't like him anymore. So you will experience it. If you live a different life in this world, we have to, and you will suffer. But that belongs to a life with the Lord, to suffer with Christ in a certain measure, so that Christ will be glorified. Did the Lord make you willing to live such a life? Yeah, if you know the love of Christ, you will be. Well, think about Mephibosheth of this morning. He saw himself so unworthy as he was. He called himself a dead dog. And Ziba had to serve him. Ziba accused him, betrayed him, and the land was taken away. and only half given back. And then you see that Mephibosheth is a real child of God. You see that meekness, that mercy in his life. When the king says, okay, you both get half of the land. And then he says, well, Tsibi can have it all. That's remarkable. He was really done damage by Tsibi. Hurt, you could say. Accused falsely. That's what you will experience if you live with the Lord. And then to be meek, then not to avenge yourself because of living with Christ. He can have it because the king is back. Oh, we need that life near to the Lord. It will be a life that will be a testimony in this world. So it should be like salt in this world. In the days of the Lord Jesus, there were people, a sect, the Essenes. They lived like monks in the desert. And that's not what the Lord is asking from us, to put a salt like in a bag. But we have to take our position in this world and society. I don't know if my wife likes it if I tell it, but she was working as a nurse in families when a child was born, doing that for 9 years. Not for a Christian organization, but general, coming in all kind of families. And with a purpose, to be there as a Christian. I know it's nice to have a Christian in your family. And I know it's good to have Christian schools, I'm not attacking that anyways, but you could think about, it could be good if you would need a nurse, I don't think they have it here, to come in your family, if there would come anyone who would not be a Christian and see your Christian family, that could have an influence, and you could give them a diary about scripture or a Bible, and a Christian nurse coming in families would have opportunities to talk, so I use it as an illustration. Are we willing to be like souls in this world, to be hated? It's not always easy, no, many times it isn't, but it is used by the Lord, and it will be blessed, and we will find reasons to be exceedingly glad, because in our suffering the Lord Jesus will comfort our souls, and we will need him every day very much in those hard situations. Do you have a position in the world? Do you think it's hard? Well, pray that the Lord will use you and that he will make you exceedingly glad. When used by the Lord and slandered and mocked, despised, but comforted in your heart. You will mourn, but you will be comforted. And Christ will be exalted. And that's the most important thing. He is so worthy, isn't he? Amen. Let us pray together. Most gracious God, thou art good and gracious. Use us as a light and a salt, that the darkness will go away. Where light is, the darkness cannot be there. And the salt will work against the decay. O Lord, we lack the wisdom. We are poor in spirit, that we might experience that is blessed. O Lord, that we will experience that thou art ruling our lives. And then we are rich in Christ, and nothing is impossible to be done. It's possible because of Christ strengthening us. Lord, bless thy word, that we might take it with us in our hearts, and the administration of the Lord's Supper. We pray for those that attend it. O Lord, keep us, protect us against the attacks of Satan and those that did not attend. Lord, thou knowest why. And Satan can attack also. O Lord, that it would bring to Christ, to his feet, to conversion, to repentance, to faith, to salvation. Be with us this evening when we gather as youth group. Lord, that we might have a good time together in singing and opening the word and praying. Bless the word that was opened in the Bible study this afternoon and in jail. O Lord, that thou would give the fruit. Forgive our many sins. And O Lord, that we might be accepted for Christ's sake. In the forgiveness of our sins, we pray in his name. Amen.